When I was in elementary school, I wanted to learn to play the trumpet. It seemed like a cool instrument, right? It was loud, it was shiny, but it was also expensive. And my mom was not trying to buy a trumpet for a kid with no discernible musical talent. I did get pretty good at making the sound with my mouth. So, I mean, I could kind of do it, right? I play the trumpet and just don't use it. And we've been talking about the festivals and the feasts that God commanded the people of Israel to celebrate. And today we're going to talk about the Feast of Trumpets. We've talked about the Old Testament feasts, how they point towards Jesus. And we've mentioned Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, and First Fruits. In Leviticus 23:23, the Lord said to Moses, as he's giving him these seven feasts, he said, "Say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, you are to have a day of Sabbath rest, a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blasts. Do no regular work, but present a food offering to the Lord." See, in the Old Testament, they didn't have shiny gold, Louis Armstrong trumpets, right? They had animal horns that were used. And they were used to announce a battle or to welcome a king to the to the town and to say that the king was coming. In Psalms 98:6, it says, "With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the king, the Lord." The trumpet had a lot of meaning. And this is kind of what their trumpet would have looked like. Maybe a little bit bigger. It's a ram's horn, and it smells kind of gross on the inside. And they would blow it, and that would announce, it would get people's attention. They didn't have microphones. They didn't have big speaker systems. So this is what they do. You ready? Let me try again. I can do better than that. Wasn't too bad, right? Yeah. So they would blow these big trumpets, and that would, give a message to the people. Certain amounts of blasts would mean certain amounts of things. And if you have been in church for a while, you remember Joshua and the Battle of Jericho, right? The city had these walls that seemed impenetrable. They stretched to the sky. And God had given the people of Israel the promised land. And this walled city stood in the way. God had told them to take over this area. But before the Battle of Jericho, God gave Joshua very specific instructions for the men of war to march in silence around the city once each day for 6 days. That sounds like a weird battle plan, right? But the priests were supposed to walk with them, blowing ram's horns and carrying the Ark of the Covenant as a sign of God's presence among them. And on the seventh day, they were to march around the city seven times at the appropriate signal. The priests were to blow their trumpets, and the people were to give a mighty shout. Here's a little bit of a picture representation of what that might look like. I think you got that, Noah? There you go. They're walking around the city, and here's the Ark of the Covenant, and they have their ram's horns, and they were to blow these trumpets, these horns, and Joshua and the people did exactly what God commanded them, and on the seventh day, the walls of Jericho crumbled, and the soldiers went in, and they took the city, and God won. So we're lucky that when I blew this, that the walls just didn't come down in this building, right? We also remember when God called the hesitant Gideon, right? You remember the story of Gideon and his army. God whittled it down, this army of Israel, from 32,000 people to just 300 people. That seems like a weird battle plan, right? But they still beat the Midianites with only a jar, a torch, and a ram's horn to blow. God had gotten the victory again. And the horn was this symbol for them. It meant something. It meant God was doing something. And in both of these accounts, we see that God fought the battle and brought judgment on the people that stood against them. So the trumpet was an important part of their culture. So the Feast of Trumpets marked the beginning of 10 days of repentance for God's people before the Day of Atonement, which we're going to talk about next week. Today, the Jewish people call the Feast of Trumpets Rosh Hashanah, and it starts their Jewish New Year. Normally, it's in late September or early October, when all the harvests are over. They use a different calendar than us. But this festival would have been a time of rest and focus and sacrifice. But the most memorable part of Rosh Hashanah, with that Feast of Trumpet, would be the sound of those trumpets, those horns. Today, they start the Feast of Trumpets with every day with 100 blasts from a shofar. How many of y'all want to hear me do 100 blasts of this? I think I might pass out if I did that. But see, the trumpet blast is a sign of victory for those on the side of the Lord. But for those who disobey God or stand in the way of God's will or what God's trying to do, the trumpet is a signal of judgment. During the time of the minor prophets, the Hebrew people continually rejected God, right? And they had turned their back on God, and God sent them into exile away from this land that God had helped them conquer with people like Joshua and Gideon. And because of this rejection, God told this to the prophet Joel in Joel 2:1. Blow a trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on a holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. And we see here in this instance, the sound of the trumpet was a thing that would make people tremble in fear. See, for those that stand in disobedience against God, the trumpet is a wake-up call to check your heart and to check your deeds and to see if there's any part of us that needs to repent. Way back when God called Moses to Mount Sinai to give Moses the Ten Commandments and the law, the Bible tells us that the earth shook with the sound of a trumpet over and over, and the people trembled in fear. See, the trumpet calls us to repentance, to fear the Lord. Proverbs 9:10 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. See, a healthy fear of disappointing or disrespecting God is the basis of living a wise life. But we can also live like enemies of God if we follow after our desires and our flesh. It says in Romans 8:7, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot." Our mind, when it's set against God, is hostile to him. Those that are in the flesh cannot please God. You, Paul's telling them in Romans, you are, however, not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if in fact the spirit of God dwells in you. And we see there that the flesh can be set against God. And if we do things our way, we can make ourselves and be on the side of the enemy of God. James 4:4. We see here people, a church getting called out and saying, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes himself to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." See, if you are a follower of Jesus and you've accepted this gift of salvation, you are secure in your place in the family of God. But we still need to make sure that we're living in a way that's not set against God. We need to make sure that we are not living like an enemy of God, doing things that are against God's will and God's way. And when we do that, we need to quickly run back to him and repent and ask for forgiveness and get it right and do everything necessary. Drop everything else that we're holding on to and run to him and make sure that we're not living like an enemy of God. We probably all remember being scared to tell our parents or our grandparents about something. Maybe it was our grades. Maybe it was a speeding ticket or an after-school suspension. That's y'all too, right? Not just me. But we were probably scared to come and tell them about that thing. We knew that it was going to disappoint them, and we knew it was going to disrespect them. These people that were in authority over us wanted good things for us, and so does God. And God also deserves for us to live a life that honors and praises Him. So when we have open and unrepentant sin in our lives that we refuse to take to God and ask for forgiveness, we should be worried because sin hurts us. And there are some things that we ought to have a healthy respect for. We need to make sure we're not playing with those things. I'm not going to play with a scorpion. I'm not going to play with a venomous snake, right, or a shark. Why? Because I don't want to get hurt. It seems like very often in the news or on the internet, you see someone taking care of or making friends with a wild animal or an animal that isn't domesticated. And the story always seems to end with that person getting killed by this animal that they raised, right? If you Google, like, chimpanzee attacks, there are so many. Like, they're the meanest things in the world, and they are brutal. Or a lion, or some type of snake that bites you. And if you have pet snakes, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. No. It's not quite that bad, but it's kind of weird. But we don't play with those things, right? Because they're not domesticated. They are wild things, and they want to eat you. They say that if you have a python, that eventually what they'll do is they'll begin, if you just let it be free in your house, they'll begin to stretch themselves out alongside of you to see if they could fit you within their body. Those animals are just waiting for you to slip up, and they're going to eat you. And that's what sin is like. That's what your pride is like. Taking part of pornography, that's what it is like. It may bring some amount of pleasure for a season, but it is waiting to consume you. It is waiting to tear your life apart. Drunkenness, gossip, those things are hurtful. And God said, don't do them because they are going to eat you. And they're going to hurt me and those around me. And the enemy and our flesh will tell us that we can handle these things and that they won't hurt us because apparently we will be the exception to the rule. And I'm going to be the one person that this isn't going to hurt. But the wise thing to do is to run from those things and run to our loving Father who always takes us back. The Feast of Trumpets was a time to remember whose side you were on. If you're walking on God's path, you hear the trumpet as a trumpet of victory. But if you're walking in the flesh and following the world and the devil, the trumpet is a call to fearful repentance. The Jewish people also would draw a connection between the horn that they would blow for battle and the lamb's horn that was stuck in the thicket that God provided as a sacrifice instead of Isaac, Abraham's son. If you've been around church for a while, you remember that this story of Abraham and Isaac. And during this time of during this time of repentance, during the Feast of Trumpets, the Jewish people still today read this account of Abraham in Genesis being told to take his only son Isaac up the mountain. And God had told him to sacrifice his only son. That sounds crazy, right? God was testing Abraham. But he was also sending a message throughout history that God will provide. And we see that here in Genesis 22:11. It says, the angel of the Lord called to Moses from heaven and said, Abraham, from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy, Isaac, or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked up. And behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horn. And Abraham took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. We see this purpose of this story is to show us that the Lord will provide. See, Abraham and Isaac were an Old Testament walking, talking symbol of God and the Son, Jesus Christ. Isaac didn't die that day, but Jesus did thousands of years later. Jesus provided a way. Jesus is represented in a ram with his head wrapped in thorns. He's a sacrificial lamb that stood in our place to take away the sin of the world. Jesus is our way to repentance. And the Feast of the Trumpet is a time and an event that calls us to take sides. God's side or the side of the world and the flesh and the devil. Jesus is the way that we are able to get to God. And if it were not for the hope of the Messiah, we would all be standing in the way of God's judgment right now. But if you have repented and accepted Christ as your Savior, you don't need to stand in the way of God's wrath anymore. Praise God for that, right? Jesus took the punishment for us, and now we have the victory through him. So the trumpet for us should be a sound and a sign of joy for you. R.C. Sproul said this. The Feast of Trumpets came to be celebrated as an anticipation, of that last day when the Creator will right all wrongs and cause eternal justice to fall upon the enemies of his people. That will be a dreadful day for the unrepentant, but for those who have been declared righteous, it will be a day of glory. So today, as we meditate on the Feast of Trumpets, let us check our hearts for anything in us that needs repentance. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Don't believe the lie that God just wants you to be happy and do whatever you want. This isn't any more true than any good parent letting a toddler play with poisonous fire knives just because that child wants to, right? No, a good parent makes sure that that child has what's best for them. And Proverbs reminds us of this. Excuse me. There is a way that seems right to a man. Chunk it. Whoa, right in my face. That's better. Let's read that again. Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. God has a design and a way for us to live, and it's better for you. God's way is always the best way, every time, always. Sometimes it's harder. Sometimes you have to give things up, but it is always better for you. Those who stand opposed to God fear that trumpet, but those who stand with God rejoice at the sound. Psalms 98:6, it says, with the trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. The world and those who dwell in it, let the rivers clap their hand. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth, and he will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. See, we can imagine that, you know, that God sees these things that are going on in the world, and maybe why isn't he doing something about it? He will do something about it. God is a God of justice. And for those that stand on God's side, that justice is a welcome thing. Just like for someone to have some crime committed against them and for that person to be brought to justice, how that for them would provide some sense of relief because things are set fair and things are set right. God will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. The creator of the universe and the sea and the rivers and the hills and the mountain will one day make all things right. He wins. Justice is served. And one day in the future, the trumpet is going to sound and the battle will be over. Every tear, every sorrow, and every sin erased forever. And we will share in the victory, in this feast with the Savior forever. Jesus is our horn in the thicket, and he made a way for us to share in the victory of the King of Kings. So the two challenges for you today is, first, are you a follower of Jesus? Are you really a follower of Jesus? Have you put all your faith and accepted the gift of his sacrifice? Are you on the Lord's side? Or are you still standing opposed to him, believing that we can handle all of this on our own? See, someone has to pay the debt for your sin, and you can do that. You can do it on your own, but that means separation from God in a place called hell. But you don't have to pay the price of your sin, because God made a way through the Lamb. The Lamb that took on the sins of the world. And you could put all your faith and trust in him right now in this moment and say, God, forgive me of my sin. I put all my faith in what you did on the cross and how you died for my sin in my place, how you were buried and you rose again, defeating sin, death, and the grave. That's the first challenge. The trumpet calls us to ask us whose side we are on. And then if you are a follower of Jesus, the challenge for you is to ask that question, is there something in me that is standing opposed to God's will and way? Is there something in me that acts like the enemy of God? And maybe that's what you need to do in this moment right now, is do some real work in your heart, work of repentance for your sin. The sound of the trumpet calls us to remember whose side we are on. The enemy in our flesh will tell us that we can handle these things, that we can handle them on our own, that these little sins won't hurt us, and it's not that big of a deal. Because apparently we'll be the exception, the one that can handle sin without being hurt and wounded and broken. But the wise thing to do is to run from those things and to run to our loving Father who always takes us back and to pull out all the stops and say, God, forgive me. God, I'm coming to you and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make things right. I'm not pointing fingers at other people. I stand before you, ready to say, I'm turning my back on those ways that I did, and I need your help to fix this. God has outlined in his word a way to live that pleases him. And praise God that our God is good, and praise God that it is a better way for us to live. God didn't make a way for us to live that we could be close to him and live in obedience to him that hurts us. He made a way that is better for us. So what's standing in between you and God that you need to let go of right now? King Jesus is victorious. He is better. And one day he will step in to take his rightful place. 1 Corinthians 15:51 tells us, we've seen all the way from Genesis this symbol and the sign of the trumpet, and now we see here all the way at the end where it says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must be put on with the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this tells us of a time, the last days, where the trumpet will sound and the end will come. This life, where that ultimate time, where it will be too late for you to pick a side. And that's your choice right now. God allows you to choose Him. And it's the better choice. It's the only choice that leads to eternal life and to amazing, abundant life right now. So if you haven't put your faith in Jesus today to save you and to forgive you of your sins, do it today. What are you waiting on? Jesus is coming soon. If you have put your faith and you've rested all your hope on Jesus, but you still have some unrepentant sin between you and your Savior, confess it, obtain forgiveness. God's way is better, and He has a way for you to live that He wants for you. Good things that will give you the end that He wants for you. With every head bowed and eyes closed, at any time, you can come down and use the altar if you felt led to do that today. This trumpet sound, this time of remembering who the King is, calls us to make decisions, calls us to make a choice about who we will follow. You can continue upon the path that you're on. Or you can say, God, I'm abandoning that. The path of self and the path of the world and the flesh and the devil. And I'm turning from my sin, not in my own power, but in your power. And I'm surrendering all to you. And I put my faith in you today. You could call out to God right now. It's not a magic prayer. The words aren't important. It's a posture of your heart to say, God, forgive me. I'm turning from my sin, and I'm turning to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the cross. I put my faith in you to save me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. If that's you today, you can make that choice once and for all. And I'd love to know about it. If you write that on your connection card before you hand it in, say, I chose Jesus today. Each of us, as on our path following Christ, we all have these things that we struggle with. We all have these things that we need to let go of and these things that are set against God. And sometimes those things, we let them go and they kind of stay in the past and we never go back. But these other things seem to chase us sometimes, and these are called besetting sins, sins that we struggle with. And sometimes they take more than just repentance one time. And you may feel like, what's the point? This thing keeps coming back. But God promises us that He will make ways of escape so that we can bear this temptation. And He promises us that He will help us and to bring us victory over those sins. The Bible tells us that the wise man falls, but then gets back up. You might have lived a life recently where it feels like you've just been defeated and you have kind of given up, but that is not the best thing for you this morning. This time of looking at the trumpet in God's word can remind us it's time to fight. It's time to repent. It's time to pull out all the stops to take care of this sin that so easily besets us. And your sin might not be the same sin as me that you struggle with. But we can't, as we live on this life, and we walk this time on this earth, we can't give up. We continually come back to God and say, God, forgive me. I need your help. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, today I'm choosing to let go of those things. I'm getting accountability. I'm making adjustments. I'm, you know, throwing out the thing that is tempting me. Whatever I have to do, I'm going to decide today that I'm not going to do it tomorrow. Forgive me and fill me with your Spirit. Help me give over every moment because I can't handle this thing on my own. If that's you today, come to him. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.